But let's start with Ezekiel in chapter number 47. I hope everyone has a wonderful day tomorrow. And around here, it's the calm before the storm, Labor Day. Everything gets very busy after, so I don't plan to do a whole lot. I think the kids are going to come over for lunch, and we might grill a hot dog, have some watermelon, something like that, but that'd be about it for me. And then it all begins. I love watermelon. Do y'all like watermelon?
Amen.
Amen. Some of you put salt on it. I'll pray for you. All right. Yeah, I like cucumbers with salt on it, but I don't like watermelon with salt on it. So when we get to heaven, we'll understand. All right. Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel has a vision here. Let's read about it real quick in verse number 1. Ezekiel 47, verse number 1 says, "Afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house. And behold, waters issued from out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the gate without the other gate by the way that looked eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over." In this passage, Ezekiel sharing a vision that he got, a vision there of the house of God. And from the house of God, there was water flowing all directions, all four directions. And the water flowed from the house of God, and they measured it. They measured the waters, and some went to the ankles there in verse 3, some to the knees, some to the loins in verse number 4, and in verse number 5, some are so deep it had to be swim through. And let me say, when did that happen? It hasn't happened yet. Waters have not flowed from the house of God there in Jerusalem, the temple, but it will, because the Bible says so. If you want to see it, look over in the book of Joel over to the right a little bit, and we'll start making our way over to Matthew. But Joel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, say thank you for helping us out. I'm helping me out, all right? Hosea, all right, Joel, chapter number 3, and in verse number 18, look at that real quick. In Joel 3:18 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim." So it will happen one day. It's not happening yet, but it will. And Ezekiel has this vision, and I'm where that's a lesson for another time, but I use that to give us this thought to kick things off today, that the waters in his vision, some flowed to the ankles, some to the knee, some to the loins, and then others deep enough it had to be swam through. And I thought about that, and the Lord led me to kind of give that as an illustration and get those four different levels, and then to go over to Matthew chapter number 26. And we'll stay here, right? Matthew chapter number 26, and the Lord is heading to the cross, and he is there in the garden in Matthew chapter number 26, headed, and he's going to pray, and then he will be betrayed, arrested, and taken, and would go to the cross and die for our sins. But in Matthew chapter number 26, and keeping the thought of the water to the ankles, water to the knee, water to the loins, and waters deep enough to swim in, I want to preach this morning on four types of church members. four types of church members. In Matthew chapter number 26, look at verse number 36. Matthew 26, 36 says this, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray under. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you, and I pray that, Lord, you'd help the message. I know what you've given me to share this morning. I pray you'd enable me and empower, Lord, that your Son might be glorified. Lord, I desire to be hidden. And Lord, please speak to our hearts today as we just consider these thoughts. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, and may the Holy Spirit speak to us as only he can. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Four types of church members. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus goes and he's going to pray before he would be arrested and taken to the cross. And we have Judas. Judas is out with the world. He's out with the evil ones that are going to come and arrest him. And Judas would kiss the Lord on the cheek and identify him, but he's with the wrong crowd at this moment. At this time, there are eight disciples that are sitting outside of the garden. Jesus told them in verse number 36 to sit there while he went and prayed yonder. So eight disciples are sitting away outside the garden, waiting for the Lord. And then, of course, there's three that go with the Lord, Peter, James, and John, and they go into the garden to pray and watch with him. And then we have Jesus, who would be the pastor of that first church. But every one of us here in this auditorium, and really everyone that's a member of a church, are in one of these four classes. Now I want to look at them and consider them today and challenge us that we might, you know, examine where am I and then determine that we need to be where what God would want us to be. Obviously, the perfect example is the Lord Jesus Christ, and, you know, he is the example of what all of us should be. Amen? But let's look at this. First, I want you to consider Judas. Judas, where's he at during these verses? He's out with the world. He's selling Christ for some silver. He walked away from the things of God. And Judas said, I want you to consider, he had no problem sitting in church. He heard a lot of teaching, didn't he? He had no problem listening to the preaching. He had no problem singing if they sang. And no problem at all counting the offerings, and no problem at all being a church member. But it wasn't in his heart. He had no problem being around it, but it wasn't who he was. We would consider him to have been a, you know, now the Lord knew the truth and he didn't fool anybody. But he had no problem for years being identified as being part of this group. He did everything that they did, but it wasn't in his heart. And when given the opportunity, and by the opportunity I mean this, when the pressure was on, it revealed who he was. When it became real, and more than just the offering taker, and more than just sitting there listening to teaching, and more than just mumbling some words in a hymn, when it came time to really show who you were, he left the table. Pressure always reveals who's real. You know, you read the Bible, and there was times of persecution, and what happened to the church? It grew. Because pressure has a sense of revealing. You know, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of the people at our church. And even through those years of COVID and we're sure what's going on, man, we just had to figure out what's happening. But, man, we just tried to go forward. And a lot of churches, I say this, they still have not recovered. The people just got out of church and they just have not returned. Pastor Ferguson's looking at a building and praying about this building because this church was running 150 people before COVID and now they can't get five. And they can't take care of their building, and it's a really nice building, so they've been talking to Pastor Ferguson about that. But that's not just the church, it's everywhere. Say, what's happened? Well, I'll tell you one thing that's happened. Is that when it's not your life, when it's not your reason, when church is just a social event, you can take it or leave it. But when Christ has preeminence in your life, you desire it. You want to be around it. That's one of the reasons our church is, and it's a praise to the faithfulness of the people, and I believe a walk with God in so many people's lives here that, you know, we're like, let's get back, let's do this. Judas was the type of person that had no problem sitting in church, and then obviously he would go out and live how he wanted to. He would epitomize a church member today that, you know, has no problem sitting in a sermon, but has no problem also laughing at everyone's filthy jokes at work. There's no problem just going to some, you know, wicked concert, or no problem going and sitting on a bar stool and drinking with everybody else, or cussing and filthy mouth, or, you know, just going out and just living like the world, do whatever, but they have no problem sitting in church, until the pressures maybe gets turned on one day. But they have no problem sitting there. They are, remember where we started? Ankle deep. I think most of us have been in a swimming pool, right? That water's cold sometimes, you know? And now my kids, they're just like, eh, they just jump right in. The older you get, you don't do that, right? You got to ease into that. You know, and your first thing you do is step on that first step right there. And the water's just right here, but you're like, give me a minute, right? The kid's like, come on, you got to give me a minute, right? And you're standing there. I mean, you're there, but you're not committed. You're there, but you're not all in. You're there, and you get what's going on. Judas is someone, he had a problem. He loved money and he loved what the world had more than he loved the Lord. And he was willing, when convenient, to sell out God for a little bit of pleasure. He was willing, when convenient. Now, he would have looked good. When Jesus was standing there preaching, he was sitting there. When Jesus was had his hands upon the deaf and that man received the ability to hear again, Judas was standing there. When the Lord walked on water and made the peace be still, Judas was in the boat. I mean, he was there. He had no problem being there. But in his heart, he wasn't sure that's what he's looking for. In his heart the whole time, there's something about being out there that he felt he's missing. And he desired. Most of us, when we think of Judas, we think of one word, traitor. But he truly epitomizes the one that will come and, you know, I have no problem. You know, I'll give you a service a week. But then go home and stare at pornography on a screen all week. Then go down and gamble and cuss and do whatever the world likes to do that the Bible says not to do. Again, just because there's things out there doesn't mean it's evil, right? Well, people go to the park. You can go to the park. Have a great time. Just don't be dressed ungodly. Right? You know, hey, go Loveland Bike Trail's beautiful. Wear clothes, please. I mean, right? There's just certain things as a child of God that we don't do because we love the Lord. But there are those who step in, you know, ankle deep. No problem, I'll come. And listen, sometimes it's just a matter of growth and people need to grow, and I understand that. Baby Christians, it takes some time, amen? I was there, right? You were there, right? And we got to have time for that. You know, there's a lot that I'm still learning and got to learn, all right? But I get that, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the child of God that's been sitting in church for 30 years, ankle deep. Because there's so much out there, I said on Thursday night, there's a lot of people that wouldn't send their kids to a Christian school because they don't want them to miss out on a lot of things, and there's a lot of things I want my kids to miss out on. Judas, someone who is fine putting on a show, but in their heart it's far from them, willing to be up to the ankles. I'm not saying they're not saved. I will tell you, Judas was not saved because he went to his place. But Judas truly epitomizes someone who will sit in church, have no problem sitting in church, very minimally, but they'll sit in church, but in their heart they know they're lost. Now, it's not my job to judge that. It's just my job to preach the truth that it can happen. Judas did. And Jesus also said these words, "By their fruits ye shall know them." By their fruits ye shall know them. You know, when someone's been sitting around ankle deep for a couple years, give time. But my friend, an apple tree will eventually bear apples. An orange tree will eventually have a bunch of oranges hanging on it. When Jesus said, "By the fruits ye shall know them," it doesn't mean that we walk around and stare at people and try to judge them. That's not our job. God will take care of that. But he did tell us as Christians that over time, because that's what trees do, over time, every tree reveals itself. There's a little plant farm right down the road, right? They plant all kinds of trees. And when they're first planted, now some of you may, I just see a bunch of saplings. I have no idea. What kind of tree is that? That's never been my thing. I have no idea, right? But you give it a few years. Even me, a very novice, can tell you what kind of tree they are. Give it a few years. Those who have remained ankle deep, their fruits begin to reveal them. Because that's what the Lord said. And again, please understand. Peter said it this way: a dog returns to its vomit. A sow returns to the mire. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter number 17, that at the judgment there will be many that say, "Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name or that in your name?" My friend, if you've never had the time in your life when you said, "Lord, I believe I'm a sinner and I believe Christ died for me," and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then do that today. And then if you have been saved and you've been standing a while ankle deep, I go back to my pool illustration. A person standing ankle deep never enjoys what the pool's made for. And if you've been standing ankle deep, and you're saved, and praise the Lord for that, but you still, you know, I don't know if I want all this. This still is pretty, you know, the world, all this stuff. And you're probably getting to the point now where it's like, I'm just not sure about this church thing. Because you're not enjoying it for a while how God made it for. And you're standing ankle deep and you're starting to question a whole lot of things and question a lot of things in your life. Faith in Christianity and the Christian life is not like a car that you take for a test drive to see if it's going to work or not. It's faith. It's trust. It's surrender. But you have Judas in this passage. He's not there. as he's out with them. A new believer represents the ankle deep. Those who were there had no problem with it till the pressure gets turned on. But then you had also eight disciples sitting outside the gate or outside the garden. Now, 8 out of 12, in my little math, 75%, right? What are they doing? In our text, in Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 36, "Then cometh with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." What are these eight doing? Well, seven really, because Judas is gone, but what are they doing? Sitting. That's all they're doing, right? They're just sitting there. They're just sitting there. They're not engaged in anything. They're just sitting there. And I am not talking about Kazada Baptist Temple because I know what our church does. But I'm just saying the typical church out there. It's probably pretty accurate. The 75% of the membership, just sitting there. They're there. They're just sitting there. They said in the first time. You remember one time on Mount Transfiguration, right? When the Lord went up there and Moses and Elijah, right, came down and the Lord, he wasn't by himself, was he? He was with who? Peter, James, and John. And so the other 75% were just down there. Remember that story when Jesus and Peter, James, and John came down from the mountain? Remember there's this guy that said, "My son, he's throwing himself into a fire. He's demonic possessed and he needs help. He needs deliverance. This demonic spirit's tried to throw him in the water and kill him. And your disciples, the 75%, couldn't do anything." Right? Now, I'm not throwing them all under the bus. Hey, bunch of losers. Thomas and Daddy. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it is interesting to think about. When we read them here at the garden, they're sitting there. Sitting there. They're there. And here they are, and I represent them. They're definitely not ankle deep. You know, they've taken that. The next level in Ezekiel was up to the knees, right? They're there. And they're not against things and love the Lord. There's so many people, and without a doubt, I've been in very few churches where the people are engaged. Like Brother Elam, when he was first getting started, he was just like, send some people over that aren't doing anything. I was like, I don't have any people that aren't doing anything. You know, a Sunday school teacher. They're all teaching, right? You know, and we have sent some people over, obviously, but, you know, it isn't like we have tons of people sitting around like, yeah, we're just sitting here, right? They're not. Praise the Lord. We have a very healthy church, and thank the Lord for that. But I am preaching this because this isn't normal. Most churches, they're dying. Because 75% are sitting around. My grandpa Hudson used to say it this way, hitchhiking their way to heaven. I don't know how doctrinally correct that is, but you understand what he was saying, right? They know they're going. And they're just enjoying the ride, but they are not engaged. The group I'm talking about, that 75%, have no problem being very religious on Christmas. And Easter and Mother's Day. And weddings and funerals, and someone gets really sick, very religious. But typically, they're just known for just being there. They're not engaged in prayer, not engaged in serving and acting, and have no problem being there, but Christmas and Easter and weddings and funerals. They're up to the knee. But they're not with the power of God. They're not changing lives. They're not helping others see Christ. In Matthew chapter 17, turn back a few pages, and verse number 1, what we read about just a minute ago. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up a high mountain apart. Then verse number 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, but they could not cure him. They were powerless. Again, I'm not concerned about anyone outside these walls, all right? It's them and the Lord. I've already tried to express my thankfulness for the faithfulness of our people. But the devil's not going to sit by and watch this. And he would prefer that most people begin to quit, and that most people begin to sit on the pew, that most people begin to back out of ministries and be content just sitting in a service. Knee deep. Ankle deep, knee deep. And then in our passage of Matthew 26, there were three in the garden with him. Peter, James, and John. They were on top of that mountain in Matthew chapter number 17. They're in the garden with him. They would represent the next level there in Ezekiel, which ankles, knees, and then up to the loins. They're in. You know, they're in. You know, you get that committed to the swimming pool, you're in now. Right? You know, you get waist high, you've conquered it. You're there. And the Lord told them in Matthew chapter 26 to do what? Watch and pray. This is my Christian school math, 25%. They're the ones I believe represent that are praying and going and giving and supporting. And they're more than ankle deep. They're more than knee deep. I mean, they're not the ones criticizing everything. They're not the ones trying to find excuses to get out of things. They're all in. They long for teaching and more doctrine and to be close to God. Draw closer to Him. Matter of fact, you find these three enjoying very intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And where two or three are gathered, there's a great promise there. And you find these three there. These three are doing something the other eight aren't. They're bearing a burden with the Lord. These three are doing something everyone else is not. They're sharing a heart. Tears, compassion. They are getting to see the power of God like most aren't. They're able to worship God and see things that most don't have the opportunity. They get to see the miraculous hand of God, and they have been able to pray for the impossible, and God has done it. They've witnessed it. Because they're not ankle deep, they're not knee deep. They're in. And because of that commitment, they're enjoying a closer relationship, more of a fellowship. And I believe that and again, I'm praising the Lord for you, but I believe that is the majority of Gazette Baptist Temple, that we do have a walk with God. We do long to hear from Him every day. We want to be faithful because we love Him, and we want to serve God, and we want to tell other people about Christ. We want to see people get saved. We are on our knees praying. We're seeking God. We just want Him to be honored. We're all in. And then there's the Lord Jesus. Again, He's the perfect example. When you read this about the Lord, he's encouraging even those other three. When he prays, he says in verse number 39, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He's a perfect example in this. He's willing to go wherever the Father leads him. He will say whatever the Father tells him to say. He will give and surrender whatever the Father asks him to give and surrender. He will help and seek to help all those who the Father will lead in his path. He has a heart that is meek and lowly, yet he's high and lifted up. His soul is exceedingly sorrowful for the souls of men. His spirit is exceedingly sympathetic for the lives of people. His body, he is willing exceedingly to be spent for all mankind. He'll give, do, say, go wherever the Father wants him. He is patient. He's long-suffering. In verse number 40, he cometh unto disciples and findeth them asleep. He encourages them. He encourages others in verse number 39 to go a little farther. He looks around and says, hey, you're ready. Let's take some more steps. And I, when it ends, all this, it says in verse number 45, then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. One day, he will cry out to us, rise, let us be going. That day's coming. But he's a perfect example in every way of his life of being willing and surrender to do whatever the Father tells him to do, give whatever the Father tells him to give. That's a very small percentage of the group. One. But boy, what a great example. And I know it's a really simple message, and I don't believe I said anything unscriptural today. It's a hard message because all of us are in one of those four groups. There's no exceptions. We all find ourselves either ankle deep, like a Judas, fine to be here. We pull away when the pressure gets on, but fine to be here. Maybe your heart's not even saved, but here. Or you're in a group that you're content to sit knee-deep, but not engaged. Or you're trying to follow the Father, and man, you're serving, and you're going, and you're praying, and you share a burden, share a heart, share a zeal with the Lord. God wants us all to be like Christ. Lord, whatever you want. Father, whatever you say, that's what I'll say. Whatever you want me to give, that's what I'll give. Wherever you want me to go, that's where I'll go. We're all in one of those groups. Ankle to the knee or to the waist or just all in. There's this place that we like to go and every once in a while down to Florida. It's one of those places where it's really primarily it's a gated little area and senior citizens and they're snowbirds. You know what I mean by that? It's very full during the winter. Everybody goes down there. But we like to go down there in the middle of summer because they all leave. It's like a ghost town, man. We get to kind of run around the place all to ourselves. And it's very, very few places we ever go that we can go to a pool. And that's really cool. So, because there's no one in there. You know, the very few that are left don't want to jump in a pool. 90 degrees. Florida. We'll go out there at the pool, not spiritually, at the pool, right? My wife's one of those ankle people, you know. She's like, whoa. She'd give her a minute, all right? I'm one of those. I'll sit on the edge, put down, you know, put my knees in there, get it custom, then I'll do a little and pop in there, right? Gotta give me a second. Hope, she's the one running off and jumping in, right? Then she's like, come on, daddy, mom, right? Spiritually, where are you at? Where are you at? Because you're somewhere. There's really no exception between those four. You're somewhere. Where are you at? Can I tell you something? I use the words of hope. Just jump in. It's awesome. And you finally get to realize that this is what church is all about. This is what joy is all about. This is what excitement there is. This is what it's about. You don't get that standing in the knees and the ankles. So where are you at? From the house of God, we're to be a spring of everlasting water flowing to this community, John chapter number 4. And it should be flowing from Gazzetta Baptist Temple and Goshen and Morrow and Blanchester and Milford and Loveland and all around us. So where are you at? Ankle? Knee? Waist? Are y'all in?